We're in Luke chapter number 15. While you're turning to Luke chapter number 15, the title of this message is What the Prodigal Lost. In Luke chapter number 15, starting with verse number 11, Jesus is speaking, and he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, humbly before the throne of grace. We ask you that you help us to understand your word, to apply it to our lives, and for it to make a real difference in what we do this week. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated. What the prodigal lost. Now, this is a very well-known story. Even those who are not saved know about it, and those who hate God even refer to it because it's ubiquitous in our society. It's very well known, and you use this statement about the prodigal son constantly. And while the moral of the story ultimately is that no matter how far we fall, of course, God can take us back, and he's willing if we will but return to him. But sometimes I'm afraid that some people use the story of the prodigal son as an excuse to go on living in sin because they always know they can go back. And I think that people forget that the longer you live as a prodigal, the more you lose. And I think people forget, and they make an excuse that, oh, I can sin and it's going to be okay. God's going to forgive me. No, my friend, if you're not a prodigal yet, don't become a prodigal, because you'll lose some things that you'll never be able to get back. And if you are a prodigal, don't stay a prodigal, because the longer you stay, the more you lose. The title of this message is What the Prodigal Lost When He Left His Father's House. Let's just finish the story there in Luke chapter 15, and we'll go on. Notice he says in verse number 17 one more time, and verse number 16, rather, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I have to pause there for just a moment. Notice, and when he came to himself, I can't help but think that maybe the Bible is telling us that this boy was out of his mind. He wasn't thinking right. He wasn't thinking clearly. He had lived in a party atmosphere, doing all the drugs and doing all the sin and washed away with the fame that everybody was talking about. Oh, look at this rich boy. Oh, we have the best parties over there. And everybody thought he was a big deal. And he was so filled with himself, he went insane. And it took him to the pig's mud pit before he got back in his right mind, when he came to himself. Oh, I wish there were some Christians that would come to themselves, get back in their right mind, and look at where they've fallen from. Oh, my friends, he was out of his mind. He said in verse number 18, look at what happens when he got back in his right mind. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and he went to his father. Came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Verse number 32, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Listen, this prodigal, he was able to come back, praise the Lord, but what did he lose? What did he lose? Notice, first he lost his reward. You ever remember that verse of the Bible where it says that we should be careful lest any man should steal our reward, take our reward? It is possible for us to do something for God, something that is good, it's something that honors God, and yet it's possible for us to ruin that good thing that we did. There's people that wrote beautiful music for God that touched people's hearts and lives, and now they mock God by living in a filthy, sinful, and sodomite lifestyle. So the Christians turn from using the music that they had once made for God, that they had done for good, and now they can't sing that music because that person has dedicated themselves to sin. Oh, my friend, it's possible for you to take what you did for God and ruin it. Everybody in the prodigal son's house might have sat around and said, oh, you remember when he still lived here? You remember when he did this? And everybody asks the question, well, was he planning to leave back then? Every preacher that has been caught in sin, everybody wonders, was he doing that when he helped us through our hard time of marriage? Was he sitting like that when he preached that funeral? Remember that message he preached when he helped us? Was he living in sin back then? Oh, listen, it's possible for the thing that you do for God, the thing that you mean to be an offering for the Lord with a pure heart and pure motives, it's possible to ruin that testimony by becoming a prodigal. He lost his reward. See, he lost his earthly reward because, okay, the way the Jewish legal system was set up, the father was to divide his estate to his sons. The eldest son would get twice as much as the other sons, but the other sons would get an equal portion then, because the eldest son was supposed to take care of the house and the home and the widow and the sisters and everything. And so instead of waiting for the time when the father would pass and would be unable to live anymore, to work anymore, the son said, give me my inheritance now. Now, his father was a rich man, but if he had waited until it was time, his father would have been richer. And he took a measly portion compared to what it would have eventually been if he had waited for what would have come to him at the right time. His father was a rich man, but his father would have been richer if he had waited for the right time. Is that what we do with God? We take something right here, right now, because this is our desire. I want it right now. And instead of waiting for what God has in store for us, we take the little bit that we can get right now rather than wait for all the goodness that God has for us later. He lost his earthly reward, but notice he lost an eternal reward as well, because he took everything that God had given him. And notice, it wasn't just his father that gave it to him. It was God that gave him that earthly reward, that inheritance. And he used it for sin, losing his heavenly reward as well. Now, if this son had taken that inheritance, he said, "Father, give me my inheritance." If he had taken it and he used it for something good, well, he could have brought God's glory. He could have made his father proud of him. He could have made a godly name. Hey, he could have become a businessman. He could have invested in people's lives. He could have helped people to earn money and make a living. He could have given to charities and helped those who were in need. But rather than doing that, he went to the whorehouse and to the drug house and to the place of sin. And he wasted it all. He lost his eternal reward in doing so. See, Paul tells us that there will be those who go to heaven and stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And God is going to judge everything we do. Everything we do. Every word, every thought, every meditation and motivation of our heart, and every deed we do with our hands. He's going to judge it, everything, every word, every deed. And Paul told us, he said, it's going to be like a fire that burns through every flimsy motive that we ever did something with. If you do something good, you do it for your own motive, your own selfish motives, that's not going to last in God's judgment. But if you do something good for God the right way and for the right reason, God's going to, that's an eternal thing there, because it brings God's glory. And Paul told us in Ephesians, in whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all for the glory of God. I'm sorry, that's not Ephesians there, but do all for the glory of God. So everything you do can be for the glory of God. But if you do it for the wrong reasons, you don't do it for God, it's not going to last for eternity. Why do you do what you do? Do you do it because it's right, because God wants you to? Or do you do it for selfish reasons? See, this young man could have done, he could have used that earthly inheritance for God's glory, and he didn't. And Paul said there's going to be some Christians who get to heaven who they built this big thing in their life, but they didn't do it for God. They did it for themselves. And God's fire judgment is going to come on it, and it's going to burn it all away because it wasn't done for God. It was wood, hay, and stubble instead of gold and silver, precious stones. And Paul says they're going to be saved because they were saved. They're going to be saved through the fire because of the foundation of Jesus Christ will endure through the fire of God's judgment, because Jesus has given us eternal life if we're really saved. But notice, if it's all that we've built is just wood, hay, and stubble, none of it's going to last through the fire. What are you building in your life? Are you building for God, or are you building for yourself? Sorry, my nose is so stuffy today. It's my sinuses in the winter. I'm sorry. His reward was lost. His earthly reward is eternal reward because he was living for himself and for his sin. And he lost his reward. How long are you going to walk far from God? In the end, you'll have nothing to show for it, but only the mercy of God. You'll get to heaven. Some of us will get to heaven. Well, all of us who are saved will get to heaven. Absolutely. But some of us will get there having nothing else to show for it. I don't want to be one of those people. I don't want you to be one of those people. Let's get right with God. Let's stop losing our reward. Number two, he lost his respect. Proverbs chapter number 14, verse 12. Notice what it says. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See, this prodigal son, I'm sure he did not set out to spend all his money. I'm sure he said, you know what? I've lived such a sheltered life all of my life, living at home, being a good boy. But I've heard about those parties that people have. Oh, man. I know we shouldn't, but I mean, at least I should at least experience it once. Is that what Satan tells us? And I know that all these people do this bad thing, but man, I should at least be able to find out what it's like once. I mean, after all, God's going to forgive me, right? Hey, there's something wrong when we take God's forgiveness for granted. If you go and sin and say, well, it's okay anyways because God's going to forgive me. Guess what? It's not okay anyways. Let me remind you of something. When you do that sin, you lay another burden on Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for you. He bled for you. He suffered for you. He suffered through the separation between the Father and himself. And you think it's just okay to do another sin because, hey, after all, he's going to forgive you. You have a pride. You have an arrogance. And if you don't recognize it, you're not going to get forgiveness. Because guess what? The arrogance that says, well, I can go out and sin all I want and then I can go and pray and get forgiveness is the same foolishness and the same arrogance of the person who says, well, I can go and sin if I pay some money to the church and if I pray a certain number of prayers, I'll get forgiveness from God. Hey, it's all sin and you're not right with God if you think that's the way you can live. And right now you're not right with God if you think that's how you can live. Humility and repentance means, no, I can't keep sinning because it's wrong, because it hurts God, because it destroys me, because it hurts others. I can't keep living that way. He lost his own respect. There's a way that seems right to the man, but the ways thereof are the ends thereof are the ways of death. Bible also says a good testimony is rather to be chosen than fine gold. What is this boy's testimony? He did disrespect to the fact that he was a son of his father. Disrespected his sonship. When we sin, we disrespect our adopted father, God. We become the reason that other people talk about Christians as hypocrites. When non-Christians walk around and say, I would go to church, except there's too many hypocrites. Guess what? They're talking about us when we walk in sin. And guess what? They're right. We are hypocrites if we walk in sin. Amen. Get right with God. Stop disrespecting God's adoption of you. Stinking Listen, you call yourself a Christian. That means to be Christ-like. It means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It means to be a disciple, to walk in the disciplines of Jesus Christ. But you can't drag you out of bed to get to the house of God. Hey, that wouldn't be Jesus. Can't get you to put down the TV remote to pick up that Bible. Hey, that's not Jesus. Can't get you to stop cussing and lying. Hey, that's not Jesus. You disrespect God when you call yourself Christian and you live like a devil.
Amen.
Just like this prodigal did disrespect to God. Disrespect to himself. You know, the Bible says that a person who commits immorality sins against their own body. It's a very interesting thing that God says, and I don't think we understand what it means. Because immorality is such a big thing in this society. This society is all about immorality. You can't look at the TV without seeing immodesty. You can't listen to the world's broadcast without hearing somebody tell something immoral. You can't go to the places everybody's going without getting involved. And listen, hey, I'm not going to ever say that it's a sin to watch a sports game. But they sure pour all kinds of things that are wrong into that broadcast. You better guard your heart and mind. You want to watch the Super Bowl? Well, you go ahead, but you use that fast forward button. Oh, I got to watch it live. Well, you're going to be putting all sorts of stuff in your head you shouldn't be seeing. Hey, you want to watch it? Guard your heart, my friend.
Amen.
Pastor preaching against Super Bowl. Hey, if that Super Bowl is more of a God to you than your God is, then yeah, I will preach against it.
Right.
Now, if you can keep your relationship with God and not expose yourself to the sin of this world when you watch a sports game, you go ahead. If you can do that with a clear conscience, then you go ahead. But if you make your sports game more important than God, there's something wrong. And by the way, if you skip church, what are you saying?
Good.
Just saying. Okay, I think I might say that again. If you skip church for a sports game, what are you saying about your commitment to God? Oh, it's just a Sunday night, just a Sunday night. By the way, Sunday's for Jesus because he rose from the dead. And he didn't just say, oh, well, I can just sin this one time. I've lived my whole life absolutely pure, perfect, but I could just sin this one time. No, if he had done that, he couldn't die for us. One sin matters. And we disrespect God. We disrespect our sonship. We disrespect ourselves. We disrespect the sanctification he's given us. We disrespect our Savior. We disrespect everything that is holy and good.
Right.
When we continue to walk, or we choose to walk as a prodigal, he lost his reward. He lost his respect. How about this? He lost his relationships. Oh, my friends, if we walk as a prodigal, you mark it down, you'll lose your relationships. You continue to walk as a prodigal, let me tell you, you will forever keep your relationships far away from you. Maybe that's what you want. Maybe you're so angry and bitter about the people that you should be loving that it's easier to walk in sin and keep them farther away. You may think it's easier, but it's not.
Amen.
What you need is healing. What you need is restoration. What you need is forgiveness. What you need is to start loving your people again so that they see God in you.
Right.
And so they don't have another excuse to curse God and turn away. Because you say you know God and you don't love them with God's love, you give them another excuse to call you a hypocrite
And they'll always doubt in their mind whether the God that you've told them about is real.
Right.
Hey, listen, he lost his relationships.
Amen.
I can't help but thinking, you know, what that brother felt when his brother left him. Now, we know his brother was angry when he came back. Father killed the fatted calf, made a big party. Why do you think he was so angry? He was so angry because he loved his brother. And he became bitter that his brother had left. Now, he didn't handle it right. The eldest son, he didn't handle it right at all. But notice, that would have never happened that way if the younger son hadn't gone prodigal. He lost his relationship with his brother. Luke chapter verse 25 says, "Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he was angry," verse 28, "and he was angry, and why? And would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him." Listen, now he's causing a problem between the prodigal son. It's caused a problem between his father and his brother too. It's not just his brother-brother relationship that's now hurt. It's also now father-to-other-brother relationship hurt. And you don't know how many other people you're going to cause a problem in their relationship when you walk away from God. And you don't know how many relationships will not be healed until you come back to God.
Right.
Who's hurting? Because we're going prodigal. He lost his relationships with his brother. Notice he lost his relationship with his father. You know that. Well, maybe you have a bad relationship with your father now, so it doesn't really matter to you. I don't know. There's something, I don't know if it's going to help you, and I wasn't planning on saying it, but it's somebody said this, and I found it to be true in my own life. I found, I was thinking about it. I heard it in my 20s, and they said, the way you think about your earthly father affects how you look at God, your heavenly Father.
Amen.
What is your relationship with your earthly father? Have you ever examined it to see whether that colors the way you see your heavenly Father? I don't know if that helps anybody or not. It helped me when I realized it, because the way I looked at my earthly father, I did tend to see God the same way, and he wasn't that way. But if you care about your mother, if you care about your father, then why not live in a way that brings them honor before God? You know, when I think of my mother and all she did for me and for my family, my brother and my sister, it makes me want to be a better man. So that when I get to heaven, I can say, I took what you taught me and I lived to help my family like you helped us. I lived for God like you taught us to love God. See, your relationship with your father or mother, even if they're passed away, is not done. By the way, they're watching. People are watching from heaven? Well, that's what Hebrews says. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, Hebrews chapter 12, you need to read it. We are surrounded by the saints who have gone before. He lost his relationship with his brother, with his father. And most importantly, he lost his relationship with God. Notice he said to his father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. See, this prodigal son is so far away from God, he can't even use God's name. He can't even talk about God. All he can say is, I've sinned against heaven.
He is so sorrowful, so grieved by his own sin, that when he repents, he can't even say God's name. Well, would that some Christians would stop using God's name when they shouldn't be saying it at all.
Right.
By the way, taking God's name in vain is still a sin.
Amen.
He sinned against heaven. But notice that while he lost his reward, and while he lost his respect, and while he lost his relationships, notice what the prodigal could not lose. Could not lose the possibility of repentance, because he's still alive. And God is still there. God is still calling. Hey, are you in the pig pen that God's calling you from? If you are, God still loves you. And God's still watching. And by the way, you're still sucking air. You still have a chance to go home.
Right.
He didn't lose the possibility of repentance.
Right.
And he didn't lose the possibility of restoration. See, because God's not like that. You know, those parents that say to their kids, if you go out that door, you don't ever come back. Hey, guess what? That is straight from the pit of hell. That is not God's counsel. You go out that door, you can't ever come back. That's not God. Hey, God forgave you how many times? And you're not going to forgive somebody else? You're not going to try and restore them? God tried to restore you. And he loves them too. God wants to bring them back. He wants to bring you back. And so it becomes our job as maybe the elder brother to help the younger brother come home. Instead of getting bitter and saying, oh, why is everybody making such a big deal about brother so-and-so? He's been out of church for so long. We're making such a big deal because a brother has come home.
Right.
Oh, what a wonderful thing that is. Listen, you don't ever lose the possibility of restoration with God. Listen, you may have lost reward thus far, but there's still things that you could do for God that you cannot lose. And you may have lost respect of yourself and of others by being prodigal, but you don't have to stay there. You can earn a testimony again for God by his grace. You can walk back and you can say, hey, this is what God did in my life. And yeah, I was a dirty, rotten, filthy sinner, but God saved me. God healed me. God restored me. And now I have victory over drugs. Now I have victory over addiction. Now I have a victory over immorality. Now I have victory over bitterness and greed and stealing and lying and what's your sin? Did I hit it yet? Hey, you can get repentance and restoration just like this prodigal did. Because even if you lose everything else, you can't lose the possibility of repentance.
Right.
And you can't lose the possibility of restoration if you'll just come to yourself and say, my Father's still watching for me. Oh, notice when that prodigal was yet a great way off, Father was watching like this. Give me those binoculars. Oh, binoculars haven't been invented yet? Give me something to see. I don't know what they had if they didn't have binoculars. But he was watching. And he saw his son. And he ran. The day God ran. You look anywhere else in the Bible, you'll never see in any place I know where God ran. But God runs to meet the prodigal. And we should too. By the way,
Are you far from God? Maybe it's because you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ even yet. Jesus died for you, and he loves you. And if you know that Jesus died for you, and you know you're a dirty, rotten, filthy sinner. Hey, by the way, I am too. Hey, by the way, look at the person next to you. They are too. The only person that didn't, the only man that ever lived, the only human that ever lived that was not a dirty, rotten, filthy sinner is Jesus Christ.
Right.
But guess what? He took all of our dirty, rotten, filthy sins on himself. And he became sin for us, even though he never knew any sin. And he died for us to purchase our way to heaven. To purchase our restoration to the Father. You can always come home. If you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, today's the day. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What did that prodigal have to do to get forgiveness from his father? All he had to do was ask. That's all you have to do with God. Just ask. Just ask. And he'll turn you away from that pig pen.
Right.
And he'll give you the power to live in victory. If you've not done that, you need to do that today, Christian. If you really believe that God is giving you the power to live in victory, it's not hard to say no to sin. The reason it becomes hard is because we forget that God is right now giving us the grace to say no. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for your mercy to us, dear God. We thank you for this story of the prodigal. Lord, help us to learn this lesson. Lord, help it to be a warning to all of us who would think about following the way of the prodigal. Help it to be a lesson for those who maybe are far from you right now. Lord, we all need to draw closer to you, no matter where we are. And maybe in some point in all of our hearts, there's a place where we're prodigal. Lord, we ask you that you help us to turn from the mud pit of sin and swine and to be right with you. Because you will restore us if we just let you. In Jesus' name I pray, with our heads bowed for a moment of invitation. Has the Holy Spirit of God spoken to you about something, my friend? Don't waste an opportunity to do business with God.